this weekend is Memorial Weekend, right? So we're going to just sort of celebrate some things to do with that in a varied kind of way. What does Memorial Weekend represent? I mean, it kind of, in some ways, it represents different things. But anybody want to throw something out there? I mean, there's one sort of big thing it represents.
Sacrifice.
Yeah, sacrifice. And so traditionally, we celebrate the military aspect of that. People who have sacrificed, made big sacrifices for freedom and for defending the country. And, you know, cultures all over the world do that. Not necessarily on this weekend, but cultures all over the world celebrate that. Anything else? Paris?
Respect.
Yeah, respect. Okay, so there's different values like that. It's also, right, it kind of represents the beginning of summer in some respects, doesn't it? I remember actually when I first moved to the States, people told me, so I moved here in the winter, and people said that, well, Memorial Weekend really marks the beginning of summer, and that's when all the fireflies come out, right? They seem to know that it's Memorial Weekend, and they come out, and I'd never seen fireflies before, and I was just blown away by the fireflies. Has anybody seen a firefly yet this season? Yeah, I saw one last night. You know, so the fireflies are out, so that's really cool. So summer's kind of beginning. It also, this time of year, there's a lot of things going on this time of year, like graduations and that kind of thing, right? So Memorial Weekend is often, there's graduation parties. Anybody got any graduation parties this weekend? A few? Yeah. And we kind of look back on the school year somewhat, and perhaps more importantly, we look ahead to it ending, right? That's it. So Memorial Weekend means, oh, right, summer's coming, and we get out of school. Life slows down a little bit, perhaps. So we're just going to kind of mark some of those things. Firstly, you know, on the military side, you know, I think it's a really good, healthy thing to stop and remember people who have paid incredible sacrifice, not just in our lifetime, but historically, right? We are beneficiaries of a lot of the sacrifice that people have made, laying their lives down. You know, example, in the Second World War, 400,000 people from the U.S. died in that war. I mean, that's just a shocking number. About the same number, actually, of military people in the U.K. died in the Second World War. So we kind of mark that, not at this time of year, but at different times. So, but, you know, at the same time, what we don't want to do is celebrate war, right? War is not a good thing. It causes all kinds of pain and agony. And also, at the same time, we don't want to celebrate, like, we've got to be careful about being too... Our country's better than everybody else, right? I come from England, and we just are better than everybody else. No. That's not where I was going with that. I come from England, and we spent a lot of time thinking we were better than everybody else, and it actually led us into wars where it wasn't really about sacrifice at all. It was more about protecting our own interests, and at the expense of other people. And that's not a good thing. And I think powerful nations often do that. So, you know, America's a powerful nation. So we have to be careful that celebrating sacrifice doesn't kind of slip into celebrating war, glorifying war, or celebrating our power over other people, like we're better than other people, and certainly not celebrating protecting our own interests. So we've got to be kind of careful with it. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. Actually, we've got three. And then we're going to pray. I just wanted to say a prayer that's sort of related to Memorial Weekend, and then we're going to move on to a sort of slightly different angle on this. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus gave us this command. Let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way that I loved you. You love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. So whenever we're celebrating everything, let's remember love, okay? And I think we can see how sacrifice is an expression of love, right? Jesus went on later in this to say, you know, the epitome of love is laying your life down for your friends, right? So we see sacrifice in love. Here's one of the early church leaders, a guy called Paul. He used to be called Saul, and he got his name changed. He said this: those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? Okay, so there's a sacrifice there of helping and not just, you know, having power over somebody else, but serving somebody else. That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled is the way the scripture puts it. So another way of kind of making sacrifice is to look around us at people who are troubled, people who are in difficulty, and thinking through, how can we help? How can we help? And then here's a third one. This is one we looked at recently in a series we just did. And it says, let's get free. Hang on, no, that is not the right one at all. It's Philippians. Okay. I should have checked these before the weather. Anyway, so every week there's always one, isn't there? Have you noticed that? Something slips in under the radar. So there's a passage in Philippians 2, right, where it says, don't look out for the interest of yourself. Look out for the interest of others, all right? And so the command that sort of begins with Jesus and then is there in the early church is about looking out for other people, not protecting our own interests, but looking out for the interests of others. So I think let's bear that in mind as we give thanks and remember the sacrifice that people have made within this nation and around the world. And let's also bear that in mind as we go on to talk about some other sacrifices after I've prayed. But just while we're on this subject of sacrifice, I'm going to pray. Why don't we all just stand together? And I'm going to pray for three things. I'm going to pray for those who have made sacrifices. And we might know people in the military who are in the military now, who are making sacrifices. Or maybe we've experienced some loss ourselves through connection to people in the military. I'm also going to pray for peace around the world and not war. And I'm also going to pray that we would, as a nation, look out for the interests of others, okay, in following in the footsteps of Jesus. So let's pray together. Lord, we want to thank you for the people that have made incredible sacrifice. And we think about that through centuries. And people maybe even alive now that we know who are still paying the price. People who are traumatized, people who are injured, people who have indeed paid a great price. Lord, we thank you for that sacrifice. We're grateful, and we just want to mark that. And we pray for those people that you would bless them and help them and support them and encourage them. We also pray, Lord, for every single situation of war around the world, and we simply ask for peace. Lord, we ask that those that are causing war, that are fanning the flames of hate, Lord, that you would put peace in their hearts. Lord, we ask for the causes of war, the social circumstances that seem to breed hatred and resentment, where there's injustice and hurt and historical pain. Lord, would you bring healing? And Lord, we pray too that we as individuals and that we as a nation would look out for the interests of others rather than just preserving our own interests. Show us the way forward. And we ask, God, that especially as we head into the into election season, which can be like a war, it seems, Lord, may we all go into that with others' interests at heart, thinking about the other. We ask all these complicated, difficult things in your name, Jesus, knowing that you're big enough for all this. Amen. Okay, let's sit down. The other thing I was mentioning, thank you for praying with me there. The other thing I was mentioning there was that this is a time of year where we celebrate like graduations and those kind of things. And we're just going to take a few moments to mark some of that. We have people in our community who are finishing up a year at school, or maybe even moving on from one school to another, or graduating college, or, you know, that some of those people are adults, some of those people are young people, and we're just going to mark it. There's going to be no awards, no cash prizes, no diplomas, no parading across the stage, you're pleased to know, but we just kind of wanted to celebrate that as a community. And so the theme today really is celebrating milestones, right? And education represents some pretty significant milestones for us, but they're not the only milestones in life at all, right? But we want to celebrate those. And also celebrating the people who help us get there, because every single one of us can reflect back on our lives, no matter how old or how young we are, and think about significant people in our lives who have helped us along the way. When we think about education, we think about teachers, right? Teachers and coaches, and maybe in work, it's bosses. or maybe we look back at its parents or grandparents or certain friends of the family, different people that have helped us get along the way. And I think it's very easy for us to actually miss most of the most powerful ways in which we've been helped in life. Let me give you an illustration of that. Like I used to be a doctor. I went to medical school. And at medical school, I got taught how to do an emergency tracheotomy with a Bic biro. Do you have Bic biros here? Do you know what a Bic biro is? Oh, it's one of those, it's a pen where you can pull the nib out and you have a hollow tube, you know. And you can actually do a tracheotomy on that, emergency tracheotomy, you know, if you have to. And I got taught how to do that at medical school. Do you know how many times I've used that? Zero, fortunately. So nobody choked this morning, you know, but, you know, because it was about 25 years ago, I learned how to do that, so I'll be a bit rusty. But that was a very, I remember when we were learning that, we're thinking, oh my gosh, I remember the guy, Mr. Raftery. Surgeons in England are always called Mr., not Doctor. You work to become a doctor, then when you become a surgeon, you're called Mr. again. It's kind of weird, but he was Mr. Raftery. He was one of the top surgeons in the hospital I was working in, and he taught me how to do an emergency tracheotomy. And I just thought, what a guy, what an amazing guy. And he had done several of them, you know. But that did not change my life, because I've never done it again. On the other hand, I remember a lady at school, my first year teacher, it would be the equivalent of kindergarten, who taught me to read, Mrs. May. She taught me to read. That changed my life, absolutely changed my life, because now I can read books, and I was able to study at school and do all kinds of things, but I seldom think about Mrs. May. And she's probably not with us anymore, because that was a long time ago. But I did—I have a picture of her. There, that's Mrs. May. What's up? You got a problem with that? I told you I was in my first year at school, right? So there's Mrs. May, wonderful teacher. That's pretty lifelike. I think her hair is a little shorter than that, though, actually, in real life. But she changed my life, right? And I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but think about it. How different would my life be if Mrs. May had not taught me how to read? And many of us are doing things to help people in ways that seem insignificant, but have a massive impact. We're going to mention teachers a little bit later on, but some of us here are teachers. The impact teachers have on our lives is incredible, but teaching is perhaps one of the most thankless tasks, right? Because at that moment, we're not aware. When we're receiving, when she was teaching me to read, I was not, Mrs. May, you're changing my life right now. This is incredible. You're opening up this window. I'll never be the same again. I wasn't aware of that, right? And not only that, now I'm older and I am aware of that, I kind of forget it. Oh, yeah, I learned to read. It sort of just happened back there. But that's amazing. It's a miracle. It's incredible. And it changed my life, right? Am I being enthusiastic enough? I hope so. Good old Mrs. May. I'm going to hunt her down. Maybe she's on Facebook or something like that. If she's still alive, I'm going to say a big thank you to her. So we're going to just reflect a little bit on that this morning, okay? It's good to be grateful. It's an effort to be grateful. Just like, you know, on Memorial Weekend, we kind of make this effort to be grateful for sacrifice. Well, we're going to be grateful for the people in our lives that have made a difference. So we're going to sort of celebrate people's milestones a little bit now. We're going to celebrate one another, and then we'll have a few activities to do together as well. So I'm going to invite the first person up, who is Brandy, and you need a microphone, Brandy. There you go.
Hello. This is my first time coming up here without note cards, so if I forget what I'm going to say, I'm just going to walk off. Matthew asked us to share a story about someone in our lives who had made a big impact, like Mrs. May. And I realized that many of my, because there are a lot of people who have supported me throughout the years, but many of them were in Jermaine's family. Jermaine's family is, they have like the loving by serving. It's remarkable. They're such generous people. And I was actually going to call out my cousin-in-law who's playing bass today, but I decided to give him a break. But he has helped me out a lot. So I didn't go to college after high school. I think I took like a semester and a half, and then I sort of dropped out. I'm not really sure what was going on in my life at that time, but I quickly realized that for me, that was a mistake. And so I spent most of the beginning of my 20s like really wishing that I had gone to college. And when I was in my mid-20s, I finally decided, okay, gonna do this, gonna go back to college, but I had no idea where to start, and my parents didn't really get it. They didn't go to college, and they just thought I could find something without getting into all that debt. My mother-in-law, who was not my mother-in-law at the time, she was my very new boyfriend's mom, sat down with me, and for hours online, she helped me figure out financial aid. She helped me figure out, the application process, where to go. I was a single mom at that time. She watched Sadie for years for free, and was just always there. The whole college process. And I don't know without Jermaine's parents, I honestly don't think that I would have made it through college or even applied to go. And so I'm very, very grateful for them. I want to celebrate the people in this room who are graduating college. So if you are graduating college this year, if you could stand up so that we could applaud you. Good job, guys. And I think, do you want to come up in between?
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Brandy. Okay, so that was Brandy. She leads high school. And you're good. Jermaine, by the way, is her husband, who was playing piano up here. But we're going to go down, so we're going to sort of go through different age groups. That was college, although Brandy leads high school. She was talking about college. Hubert's going to come up now and talk a little bit about high schoolers in our community. Thanks, Hubert. It's on.
All right. Yeah. I did that thing you told us not to do. Hi, I'm Hubert Dixon, and I help out with high school students, and I'm an elementary school teacher. And as I was thinking about this, one of the things that came to mind, for me, a person in my educational journey, who I often don't think of how big a role that she played with me, was my grandmama, my daddy's mom. Her name is Ruth Corinne Bell Dixon. And grandmama was this kind of person. There was 20 of us as grandkids. We spent pretty much every Sunday at her house. And as often in the Southern African-American community, she had always the weekly copy of Jet and the monthly copy of Ebony magazine. And the most important, she'd already read it, and she would make sure things that were going on in the world in terms of politics, geography, history, she would tell us things. I forget how many things that she introduced me to conceptually that I use on a daily basis. Knowing about Matthew Henson, the explorer, knowing about Tulsa being the Black Wall Street of the African American community and how it was attacked and bombed almost 100 years ago, the Frederick Douglass. I can just name people from history and historical events that I first learned from my grandmama that I later read about, but the roots and the beginning came from her. And how much that's still within me, and how much of that I still try to share with my students, friends, and in the world. Another thing about my grandma, like I said, there was 20 of us. If you had some kind of event, it didn't matter if it was a play, an awards banquet, if you invited her to come to it, she would find some way in her big Cadillac to get there. You know, either she'd drive or she'd get another one of the relatives to drive you there. And I remember there was an awards banquet that I had an opportunity to go to when I was graduating high school. And I didn't think that she would necessarily come to it, but I kind of casually invited her, you know, Grandma, do we have this thing? It's going to be on a Thursday. I mean, you don't have to come if you don't want to, but, you know, if you can, she was there. She was there. But she didn't just come to things of other relatives, of all these grandkids. And this used to befuddle us. There was a kid guy who used to sack her groceries. And she talked to that kid. I knew him because we ran in some of the same circles, even though he went to a different high school. He invited her to things, and she would go to his stuff. You know, that was the kind of person that she was. And then last but not least, she was also the kind of person with all of these relatives at her house every Sunday. She didn't let you leave until she told you that she loved you, and she gave you a big old kiss. She'd put on her lipstick this way, you know, and she'd give you a big old kiss, and she'd also offer you some Juicy Fruit gum on the way out. So to those of you who are graduating high school this year, if you can stand up. Let's see, don't worry, huh? And may I say to you that are graduating high school, may you have someone in your life like my grandmama that lets you know that you are loved, let you know that our community loves you, and may you let others know that they are loved by you. Thank you a lot.
Thanks, Hubert. And I'd also like to recognize the high school leaders in the room. So Hubert is one of the high school leaders. Brandy, you just heard. Jermaine also leads. And Kristen, is she here? Thank you to them for all that they do for our high school students. I really appreciate that. Thank you. I'm Trish Audie. I'm on the pastoral team here. I oversee high school and middle school ministries, and I am one of the leaders in the middle school group. For me, a person who supported me and helped me reach a major milestone in my life was my flight instructor, who also happened to be my dad. When I was a teenager and young adult, I struggled with self-esteem and believing in myself. And when Dad proposed, "Would you like to learn how to fly?" I was like, okay, I was a little nervous. I'd been up all the time with him, but to take on that was a pretty big deal for me. And I was taking flying lessons as I was starting to transition moving out here. So I was never able to get my license. Everyone's going to ask me that later. I was not. But Dad did help me get to the point where I was able to solo, which was a major accomplishment. I had to go through hours of training, of having him sit in the passenger seat, open the door while we're flying, and say, "What would you do if you had a child in the plane and they open the door while you're flying?" Really? He taught me how to get out of losing altitude and how to land a plane. And so the day that I got to solo was an exhilarating and nervous moment. I got to the end of the runway. I'm going to cry every time I tell this story. And I remember thinking, okay, God, it's just you and me. And I had Dad in my headset, and I did it. I flew around that airport 3 times, had to land all 3 times. He had his cronies in the airport office watching me, rating my landings, by the way. And at some point, he casually just said, "Hey, what pizza do you want to order when you get down?" He kept me calm, and it was just a moment of just confidence. So I walk away from that, remembering that he just gave me that. And he does that for everyone. He gives that to Megan. He gives it to Michael. He's trained them from lawnmowers up to flying, they've each gotten a chance to fly a plane also with my dad. So I really credit him with that. So I would like to recognize my 8th grade students who are getting ready to fly off to high school. So if you are in eighth grade and ready to move on to high school, would you please stand so we could celebrate you? Come on. And one of those is my son, I will say that. So I hope for you all, just as Hubert wished it for the high schoolers, that you are given the opportunity to find yourself and grow your confidence with somebody who supports you along the way. I'd also like to recognize the middle school leaders in the room who are not only brave and patient, but have helped give our students confidence, and they're also crazy. So if you're a middle school leader, would you please stand? I know I've got a couple in the room. Thank you. And next is Brian.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brian, and I'm a pastor here and work with children as well as Guatemala and some other stuff here. And I wanted to share a little bit about a guy named Scott who was influential in my life when I was in my mid to late teens. He was actually a youth leader at our church, and he was a guy about 8 years older than I, and he was a guy who was down to earth, but he was also pretty cool. Played electric guitar in a band. He drove a red sports car. You know, he liked to talk Pittsburgh sports with me. And so he also was a guy that really was committed to being a follower of Jesus and kind of an out-of-the-box follower of Jesus. And so really throughout my high school years, he kind of enjoyed, it seemed to, he either faked enjoying hanging out with me and some of the other guys in our youth group, but also committed himself to just building into my life. And so it was during that time I decided to get baptized when I was 15, and then kind of entering into the college experience, he kind of walked me through some of that. And so Scott was a guy who really, I didn't call it this at the time, but kind of mentored me in kind of the nitty-gritty stuff of life, of what it is to be a teenager and growing into that. And he showed me that it was possible to be kind of down to earth, a little out of the box, and cool to be a follower of Jesus. And so, you know, obviously the coolness thing wore off a lot on me. Well, and if not, the follower of Jesus thing was, I looked to him as one of the guys that really impacted me in terms of my faith and just seeing it lived out in real everyday life. In a less, you know, in a way that was winsome. So, that's a little bit about Scott. I'm here to just recognize some of our younger ones. We have some kids who are in preschool, and they're going to be taking the major step of moving into kindergarten in the fall. We had a huge group last year. Not as many this year, but if you are heading into kindergarten in the fall and are here, would you stand up if we can see you? Anybody? All right, Brooklyn. Is there somebody in the back too? Brooklyn up here, yeah. Awesome. So you guys are going to have a great time. We're very friendly over in this big room over here, and you'll have lots of new buddies, and that's very exciting. And then we have some of our fifth graders who are moving into the barn. And that is always an exciting milestone when they get to trek across the parking lot into the barn. And so how many of you are heading into middle school come this fall? Why don't you stand up? Boom, boom. Very cool. We are entrusting you to a great team of leaders in the middle school, and I know you'll have a wonderful time. So we look forward to celebrating that with you as well. And then we have a great group of people who help out every week, whether it's kind of calming infants in the nursery, or working with our twos and threes and fours and fives, or hanging out with our kindergartners through fifth graders. Right now, probably about 20 of you all are actively engaged in that, in Cedar Ridge Kids as leaders. And so I'd love for us to acknowledge you. So if that's you, if you help out, whether it's once a month or on standby or many times a month, why don't you stand up? Thank you all. It's great to have you all just engaging in conversations with our young people. They sound very different from those, you know, one-year-old conversations and the fifth graders. But I so appreciate your involvement, and we welcome more to join the team. But thank you guys for sacrificing and serving and loving on our kids. Thanks much.
Thanks, Paul. Thank you. Okay. We're going to take a break in a second and do some activities. I just want to, one last group of people I wanted to acknowledge is, do we have any teachers here? People teaching in public schools or private schools? Do you guys just want to stand? I know we've got a number, yeah. You guys are amazing. Yeah, or you might be going into teaching even. But thank you. I want to say, I'm sure on behalf of everybody here, thank you for the work that you do. It's frequently thankless. We realize that, but it's what you're doing is profound. It's amazing. And on that note, I wanted to mention a couple of things. Okay, we've got two tables at the front here, which we're going to take a break for. This table over here has some greetings cards on it. They're sort of special Cedar Ridge cards. They've got all these sort of banners on the card, scaled down, though, obviously. And what we're going to do, there's about 65 cards there, and we're going to write a card to every teacher at Greencastle Elementary. Okay, so Greencastle Elementary is a school just down the road. It's in a pretty low-income area. It's a school that we're trying to partner with and serve. We're just trying to reach out to them a little bit. And one of the things we wanted to do is just say a big thank you to the teachers there who, you know, sort of, I mean, it's not easy teaching at that school. It's probably, I guess everybody was here say it's not easy teaching at any school, right? But there's some unique challenges there. And we're going to just sign our names on those cards. So I want everybody to go over there and sign as many as you can. We just want to pack those cards out with signed names. Just write your name. You know, don't write any religious comments or anything like that. Nothing like that needed, okay? But what we're then going to do is we're just going to insert a little letter, and we're going to give each of the teachers from us a $25 movie card, right? Just to say thank you to them. And we're not spending money unnecessarily. We were able to negotiate a very good deal on those gift cards. But we just thought, what a way to say thank you to them, right? And hopefully they'll be able to go and watch a movie over the summer and just, you know, chill out a little bit. So that's over there. So just head over there. There's loads of pens, loads of papers. We need every card on that table signed by as many people as possible. There's crayons, colored pencils, and pens. On this table, there's an opportunity to get a little bit more creative. And let's think about somebody in our lives who we want to say thank you to. And there's an opportunity here to make a card. And I want to encourage adults to think about this, children, teenagers, everybody. Who's somebody who perhaps, you know, is just there all the time, but you've never really sort of gone out of your way to say thank you to them? Maybe you could write something, put something together. You can start it here, finish it at home maybe. But create something that you could give to them as a thank you. There's no AMC gift cards over there or anything like that, by the way. But this would be just something from your heart, right? Just to say thank you to that person at a very personal level, all right? So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to play some music. Just take a break. We'll be 5 to 10 minutes on this. Go and sign the cards over here. Go and get creative over here. And then we'll regroup to do communion in 5 to 10 minutes, okay? So let's take a break. Enjoy being creative.